We so obsessed with hockey here, but the world sports, and you see a sport that's far bigger than anything we could do in Canada, and two of those sports, soccer and rugby, and we're going to start with rugby on the conversation today. Thrilled to have Sarah Svoboda in studio. Good to see you.
Thanks, Tim. It's been great to be here.
So you had quite the weekend, I guess quite the past couple of weeks, where you suited up for our nation. And it was the Pacific Four Series, was that what it was called?
Yep, that's correct, yep.
And so it was Canada, United States, New Zealand, and Australia.
That's right.
Was the whole event in Ottawa?
The first round actually happened one game in the Southern Hemisphere, so New Zealand, Australia played each other in Auckland right before they flew over, and we played the States in Spain quite randomly in April. So that first round happened there, and then the next two happened at TD Place in Ottawa.
And so we'll get into your past and kind of tell your story as we get into it. But tell me about on Friday, starting for your nation, in your nation against, I guess you guys are a powerhouse as far as the rankings are concerned. But historically, there's South Africa, there's England, there's Australia, New Zealand, there's big countries in rugby. So to be playing against two of the big dogs, what was that moment like in hearing the anthem and seeing the crowd?
I think for me, singing the anthem, it always really punctuates the event, especially looking into the crowd and seeing signs and everyone adorned in the red and white. I think that was just incredible to be able to kick off there. The last time we played on home soil was the previous summer in Halifax, and then before that was against Italy in BC. But for me, being an Ontario girl and being from Belleville, just playing in Ottawa so close to home just meant so much. And yeah, I couldn't help but like feel super emotional during the anthem and just, you know, squeeze my teammates. And I was so excited to kick off.
It was, I asked Nick Cousins yesterday about when he was playing against the Leafs, how everybody's all of a sudden friends of yours and buddies looking for tickets. Was there a lot of calls in asking for tickets? Did you see a lot of people in the crowd that you knew?
I actually had a great following of friends and family come out for the two games, and I think that just shows their support that I probably didn't have too many people heckling me for tickets, because I was actually getting text messages and Facebook messages months in advance saying, I've got my tickets, Sarah. I'm so excited, so excited. So yeah, not too many people trying to mooch, and more so people letting me know that they were coming and having their support was amazing. After the first New Zealand game, I got pulled up into the crowd, and that was such a great feeling. Like, even though we had lost to New Zealand in that game, just being around my friends and family and doing my rounds of hugs was really unforgettable.
Where does this rank as far as the career memories in rugby, Sarah?
Ooh, great question. That's a tough one. I think making it to the World Cup was a highlight for sure. I'm playing a pretty competitive position on the national team, and even though I kind of strung together some strong performances over the year leading into the World Cup, I wasn't sure if I'd be selected. So that being selected to that team probably puts it first, but this has got to be a close second, singing in front of my home crowd and playing New Zealand and Australia. That's probably right behind it.
So let's rewind the tape to getting into rugby, because so often for people to get in, now I think soccer is the most popular sport in Canada. It's surpassed hockey. Canada is now such a multicultural country that sports like cricket are growing. Rugby seems to be even more focused on, especially because of the Commonwealth component. Mm-hmm. But what was your first exposure to the sport? Because obviously there's a lineage there that talks to it.
Yeah, credit is definitely due to my dad and uncle and my mom. I think they were all very keen to put me and my sisters and my cousins in as many sports as we could get our hands on. But my Uncle Carl played at the first three World Cups with Canada. So there was always that, I think, in the back of our family's mind that was a super exciting and sport that brought a lot of success for him. So definitely the Belleville Bulldogs club. Played in high school a bit, but hadn't really considered playing much outside. And Dan Foley, Joe DeCressi, some of those coaches that had taught me and Katie in high school were like, I think you guys might be suited to this. So credit's due to them for sure. And then the Bulldogs club was just an amazing platform to kind of build that excitement from high school into more competitive.
For those who don't know, you have a twin sister, Katie, and a younger sister, Tia. Do they play as well?
Yep, they both have. Yeah, Tia played with the Sevens national team, so she was centralized in Langford, British Columbia for a few years. Just a lot of injury for her. So she decided to take a step back and play a bit more recreationally. And Katie actually was capped before me for our country. She played in Utah. I think it was 2016 or 17. She received her first cap, and then, again, injury kind of sidelined her for a while, but she's really happy what she's doing now.
I think from the outside, and I'll speak to ignorance because I'm not in the sport like you are. Is that an unfortunate end for a lot of athletes in rugby? Is just having to fight injury to, is staying healthy one of the most critical pieces of the whole game?
100%. I think it's one of the biggest factors, and I think something that a lot of girls my age have gone through as well is it sometimes has been a pay-to-play model. So it's been hard making those decisions of if you can afford to take time off work, and then same with injury. Katie right. is a chiropractor, and not being able to use her hands is her livelihood, so that's right, been right. a decision for her. But yeah, definitely finances and injury of something that you have to take into consideration.
Sarah Svoboda joins us here on the Lauren Brooker Show. It's 9:13. My name is Tim Durkin. Just coming off of playing for your nation with Australia and in games against New Zealand. You also did a scrimmage game on Canada Day against...
We did.
Where was that, Perth?
That was in Perth, yep.
That so to do something that's an international game in a small community like that, that must have been pretty cool.
That was awesome, yeah. The Highlanders Club just took us in. They were just the best hosts. I think all through the week they were catering for us and giving us as much field access as we needed, and then it culminated in that game where I think we weren't expecting to have too many fans, but people really showed up with their lawn chairs and flags, and it was super special to be able to represent Canada that day.
When you go through and that pay-to-play model, and it quite often happens, you know, that if a certain sport has the notoriety or the financial backing, for some people it ends up becoming almost debilitating, the financial component of playing the sport. Tell me about the entire run of getting to the sport where you say, I want to get to the highest level possible, but there's these barriers. What were those barriers for you?
I definitely think financial, because a lot of us are kind of getting recognized throughout university, and that's something that a lot of us already apply for OSAP or financial aid anyways. Right. In the Ontario program a few years ago, the team actually got to a point where we almost boycotted a nationals because our provincial union was asking for so much money for the tournament. We were able to reach an agreement, but that's just something that comes to my mind. I have teammates that are firefighters, teachers, nurses, doctors, and a lot of the time they won't join us on tour because they can't afford to step away from that career. So that's definitely something that's plagued us. I'm pretty fortunate to still be a student. I'm in Loughborough now studying for my PhD, so I'm able to take chunks of annual leave, so I can definitely sympathize with my teammates that are going through that, and I'm kind of one of those fortunate ones that can afford to take a bit of time off. But it's definitely been a challenge, and we're so grateful that they've actually started a Monty Heald Fund, which is money put through our system that goes directly to the women's program. And we also, for the first time, have a women's only sponsor, that's NFP, that has joined us in the last year, and they've just been great sponsors. They've followed us through our last few tours and really financially supported us.
Lethbro, tell me about where that is. That Great Britain?
Yep, so that's in the East Midlands, so kind of in the middle of the country in the east. Not a whole lot going on, but it's a cute little university town that I've called home for 4 years.
I'm curious about the attitude towards the sport in other countries. If you're in Britain, I mean, that's got to be like AB soccer, rugby is right there. Mm-hmm. Is it a different attention paid to the sport?
I think it's been an interesting culture shock in terms of what's focused on. So I think in Canada, we really pride ourselves in, you know, training athletes with really great fitness. Like, we look at fitness scores. We're really excited by different attack and transition phases. And I think in England, they can skip over a lot of that because they pick up a ball when they're 4 or 5. And right, over right. here, we're picking up a hockey stick. So it doesn't feel like we're really far behind. I think our coaching staff and the players we have really helped us push the Canadian name forward and to be that kind of top four team. But yeah, it is interesting to see how kind of second nature those little basics are for a lot of those girls.
Sarah Svoboda joins us here on the Lauren Brooker Show, coming off that unbelievable weekend in Ottawa against Australia and New Zealand. People may not know the rankings, and the fact that there's for longtime Canadians, there's not enough focus on the game, but people may not say, okay, are they ranked 80th? You're right in the mix.
So we're ranked 4th after these last test matches and the World Cup. That's what we ended up at the last World Cup in New Zealand. So we have New Zealand as the reigning champions, England, France, and then us. So yeah, it's been super exciting to be at that level, but we're trying to knock at the door and break that top 3.
I noticed it in women's sports, particularly the two. I think rugby would be second or third most popular sport in the world. But when you look at the sports for women, developed countries with women's sports are at the top. In soccer, Canada is a powerhouse. But in men's sports, the development of the country doesn't have a lot to say about it. Do you think that because developed countries have more equality for women, that it gives the opportunity? Is there still not enough support for women in a lot of countries for them to be able to say, I'm going to do this, I'm equal with the men, I'm going to go there?
I think that's definitely fair. I have a friend that has 51 caps for Ireland, and she now works as a performance analyst in South Africa, and that's a huge disparity that she highlighted. She said, obviously, the Springbok men are world-renowned, they're World Cup champions, and it's really sad to see that the women are still stuck within a pay-to-play-ish model. A lot of them make money and then send it back to their families, and I think that is a huge disparity that we're facing, and the Springboks made it to the World Cup, and so did Fiji, and they were some of the most electric and exciting teams to watch. So I think if we can close that gap, that would be huge for the sport.
So, Sarah, tell me about what's next. You did high school dominated. You go to university dominated. You're with Canada, and obviously you're a premier world athlete. What is next, A, for you playing and for Team Canada?
So for Team Canada, we have two test matches that were just announced, which we're really excited for, against England. So number two in the world, we'll be playing them in Exeter in the fall. And the second location hasn't been announced, but two test matches in England, 23rd and 30th of September. So we're really excited because the post-tour blues really hit everyone the day after we're done and we all disperse. We're super sad. But to have that announced within the next couple of days, it just gives us something to set our sights on. So super excited for that.
You were sharing some of the careers of some of your colleagues, and you guys are some hyper-successful people. To put in the work, whatever you're doing, in the sport you love, the career that you've chose, it's kind of an example of how you live your life. You're not a slob here and then just really, really successful in rugby. It kind of goes across your lifestyle, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's a good quote that one of my teammates always brings up about excellence is a habit, and something like, I'm totally butchering it, but it's a Aristotle quote about making excellence a habit. And I think so many of my teammates embody that. You have to be hyper organized, have your goals, maybe not always set out, but you have to have those in the back of your mind. And I think a lot of my teammates do that super well, always having the next barrier we're trying to break down or the next standard we're pushing. And I think that's something that my team in general does really well. I think we hold each other to really high standards. We have a kind of court or cop system on our tour, and it's lighthearted, but it really does underpin, hey, we're here to do a job and set these standards for each other.
How long are you in Ontario before you have to go back to school?
I'm actually leaving tonight/tomorrow. I haven't decided, but I have an early flight tomorrow, so it's been really short, but sweet.
Well, the fact that you made us a part of that, it's humbling, and we appreciate it, and we're so proud of what you've been able to accomplish. But the names Favoda and Belleville and rugby, it's kind of a triangle trifecta, and we thank you so much for what you're doing and putting the sport in higher profile and the excellence that you're bringing to the game. So thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
We'll take a timeout. When we come back, the Lauren Brooker Show continues on CJBQ.